Acts chapter 18 this evening. If you would, find your place there in Acts chapter number 18 tonight. It's good to be in the Lord's house. It always seems odd to be away or to not be in the pulpit, and I'm glad to be back tonight. If you would, find your place, Acts chapter number 18. We'll begin reading tonight in verse number 24. The Bible says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ." It's interesting, in the next few verses, chapter number 19, he's going to talk about the baptism that John and a couple of other things. But tonight we're introduced to a man named Apollos. I think there are some things that we can learn from him in just these few verses, hopefully that can be a blessing to us tonight. Heavenly Father, would you be with the few moments we spend together around your word? Speak to our hearts, stir us up as only your word can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I think more important, another important aspect of this text tonight is not that we're introduced to this man named Apollos, but we're also reintroduced, not really, because it's just been this same chapter where we meet Aquila and Priscilla. But what we again see in Aquila and Priscilla is one, a husband and wife that knew ministry was a full-time thing. Knew that both husband and wife were involved in ministry and were expected to be involved in ministry, had a heart for ministry, had a passion for ministry, but they also did this ministry without a title, without a paycheck, without a position. They did it because they loved the Lord. And it's a wonderful testimony to the faithfulness of Aquila and Priscilla. They find this man who is very passionate about what he's doing, and seek to influence and have an example and build up this young man. God's given each of us opportunity to have a positive influence in one another. And if we were to look around this place, especially on a Sunday morning or even on a Wednesday night, there's no doubt it's likely that someone in this room that you and I all can have a positive influence on, that we should have seek an opportunity to encourage and to build up. And here we see in Aquila and Priscilla two believers without much education who made a great impact into the life of a man named Apollos who had a great amount of education. And in our text, of course, it's been much about recently about the life and the travels of the Apostle Paul. And here the author, Luke the physician, took time to relate to us this incident that took place at Ephesus after Paul left. And here these two godly man and wife, husband and wife, man and woman, they seek to invest. They decided to stay in Ephesus after the Apostle Paul went on to Jerusalem, and they stayed there, feeling the leading of the Holy Spirit to continue to cultivate the spiritual ground until Paul returned. And now comes Apollos, gifted, scholarly, convinced that Jesus was Savior and Lord, but there are some things lacking in his life. But we can see some positive aspects in Apollos' life. We see, first of all, that he was available. Apollos was available. He was willing to speak out and to stand for the Lord. And if we were to go back, there were some things that Apollos would have had to have overcome in his life. I mean, simply his name. It's from the a deity, a pagan deity called Apollyon, which is the sun god. meaning that he doesn't have a Bible name. God doesn't change his name. He's named for a pagan deity, so no doubt he grew up in a pagan home, in a pagan society, and many other things. And so he was willing as a believer when the truth of Christ was revealed to him. He was willing to stand out even in his own home for the cause of Christ, to do what was right for the Lord Jesus. It says he was from Alexandria. He was born in Alexandria, which is located in Egypt. It was the second largest city in the Roman Empire and was famous for one of the seven wonders of the world. It was there, and it was famous for its museums and a library that had over 700,000 volumes. And so when it says that he was an eloquent man, that can mean what we think when we first see that word, that he was well-spoken, but it also can mean that he was educated, and he was well-spoken because he was educated. Most commentators that I've read about this man, Apollos, said that of most of those in that region that lived in that part of the world, he was probably in the top 10 or 15% as far as education went. He had made available to him a high level of education. But somewhere along the line, Apollos had come into contact with the gospel, with the message of John the Baptist, of Jesus is the Messiah, and he had come to prepare the way of the Lord, preaching a baptism of repentance from sin, and he'd become a believer, and his abilities, his eloquence, and his talents were placed wholeheartedly at the disposal of the Lord. And I hope we understand, though his message, I don't believe his message was insincere. I don't think that his message was inaccurate. It was just that his message was incomplete. Many scholars write that Jewish pilgrims and Apollos would have had opportunity to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem in the days right around the beginning of the Lord's ministry, and heard John the Baptist preach that the Messiah was soon to come. They recognized, they saw the fulfillment in John's teaching, and they would carry back with them the reports of the preaching of John the Baptist, of the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the Lord Jesus. And although they would have this information about Jesus' life and perhaps even some of his ministry, they would not know of his death and resurrection at this point. They wouldn't know of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so his message was incomplete. His message was incomplete. And Apollos, being a wise man, he didn't have it all together. He was still a work in progress. And it seemed he knew of the Old Testament prophecies. That's what it talks about when it talks about he was able to teach diligently. It means that he was able to put things together accurately, logically in his mind. And he was able to put things together. He was a smart guy. But he didn't have it all together just yet. He hadn't heard that those Old Testament prophecies had been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It had never been clearly explained to him until Priscilla and Aquila taught him the scriptures more clearly, or the Bible says more perfectly. He was a passionate man. The Bible uses the word fervor. He was fervent in the spirit. That literally means to boil. It literally means to boil. It means that he was full of a passion and excitement to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And although he knew the Old Testament, although he was fervent in his spirit, he was bold enough to enter the synagogue to preach the gospel, he still needed someone to come alongside him and encourage him. He still needed someone to come along beside him and instruct him. But this young man, at least he was available. He was willing to stand and speak for the things of God. He was willing to stand and do what God had told him to do, no matter how limited his training was. As I mentioned, the message he preached wasn't inaccurate. The Bible would have pointed that out if he was a false teacher or teaching a partial gospel. It wasn't insincere. It was incomplete. He was available. He was teachable. He had a teachable spirit. Aquila and Priscilla, here they were, a tent maker and his wife. They were deeply impressed with the passion and with the fervor with which this young man spoke. But they detected at once the incompleteness of his message. And we have to understand that this young man, who could have gotten caught up very easily in his education or in his upbringing or whatever the case might be, could have spurned the request of this husband and wife to instruct him in the way of the Lord. And I believe that they would have had to be very tactful. They would have had to be very tactful. They didn't call him out in public. Neither did they want to argue with him. No, they simply took him aside. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him under them. That implies for us that it was a private opportunity, a private moment. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And the Bible doesn't give us anything between verse 26 and 27, so we see in this man named Apollos, in his teachable spirit, that he was also, there had to have been some humility there. Verse 26 reveals to us the humility of Apollos' character. Though he was cultured, though he was brought up in a well-off society, he was well-educated, he was willing to sit at the feet of these tent makers and learn about Jesus. He was smart enough to know that he didn't know it all. He was smart enough to know that learning is a lifelong process. He was smart enough to know that he didn't have it all together. I can remember there have been several different opportunities, several different people in my life, and I hope you can remember people who have encouraged you not just to be satisfied with the status quo, especially when it comes to your walk with God. I can remember at almost every stage in my life as a young person, as a child, 7, 8, 9, and 10, before I was saved, I thought I was saved, but I remember Sunday school teachers encouraging us to memorize Scripture, encouraging us to tell our friends about Jesus. I can remember as a teenager, faithful youth pastors I don't remember the jokes that they told. I don't remember a lot of the games that we played, but I do remember that when I would go to the youth department, we would have a good time, we would have fun, we would do silly things and play silly games. But I'm thankful for the youth pastors in my life, the few that there were, that always would encourage me in my walk with the Lord. That would always encourage me in my walk with God. That would encourage me to grow in my walk with God. And then as I graduated high school, as I went on to college, and as a young man, a young married man, the different times where, whether it was a message or a preacher or whoever it was, that would encourage me to go farther, to continue to grow in our walk with God. And for this young man, this man Apollos, an Aquila and a Priscilla came along to encourage him. I don't know whether you're teaching a Sunday school class or whether you're just a faithful church member. There are people in this church that we can encourage in their walk with God, that we ought to be encouraging in our walk with God. One man said, partnership is the ability to work together toward a common vision, the ability to direct individual accomplishment toward organized objectives. It's the fuel that allows common people to attain uncommon results. Simply put, partnership is less me and more we. Aquila and Priscilla, they could have done a lot of different things. They could have rejected Apollos. They could have called him out publicly. They could have embarrassed this young man. But no, they took him aside, and there they found a young man that was willing to learn, that was willing to grow, and willing to understand that he knew he didn't know it all. He was teachable. He was available. Under this godly, sensible, caring guidance, this gifted young man soon understood the whole picture. Now he had a deeper knowledge of Christ and was ready to return to the Jews with the rest of the story, so to speak. Verse 27 says, when he was dispossessed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was available. He was teachable. Then, toward there in the end of our text this evening, we find also that he was responsible. We understand that what does that mean? Well, we understand that Apollos felt a responsibility to the gospel. He felt a responsibility to do something with what he had learned. He understood that as a recipient of the truth of the Word of God, he had something, he had a responsibility to do something with it. And if you understand, if we look at our scriptures tonight, we don't see anywhere in there that Paul or a pastor had scheduled any time to go out and tell people about Jesus, did he? No, see, when you understand that you have a responsibility to the gospel, you don't have to wait for the pastor to schedule a time to go out passing out tracts or knocking on doors. No, if we understand our responsibility to the gospel, we understand that is a daily responsibility. Amen? Amen. It is a daily responsibility. We understand that we have a responsibility to share the gospel with those around us. We have a responsibility to be people of the Word of God. In fact, one person said it this way: in order for Apollos to be used by God, in order for us to grow so that we can follow an example like we find here in Scripture, there were three things this one writer wrote. He said we need to be people in the Word. Verse 24 said he was mighty in Scripture. We need to read our Bible. We need to be in the Word of God. He said we need to be people of the Word. He said he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He didn't just read the Bible, but he obeyed the Bible. He lived it. He was a man of the Word of God. And then he said we need to be people by the Word. He said he was fervent in spirit. That word fervent gives us the picture of a bubbling pot, a boiling over, on fire for God. On fire for God. In fact, it goes on to say in verse number 28, when it said he mightily convinced the Jews, the word there, it means intensely, zealously. He made a great impact on the Jewish community, those religious, those who are stooped in their religion. They're oblivious to their own condition. They're oblivious to their own condition. And as we learned just a few chapters ago, they're the ones that look down on others because they're not as religious as I am. He went back to the Jews and was able to mightily convince them. Mightily convince them of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the Jews had driven, everywhere Paul had gone, they had driven Paul out. And so here the Holy Spirit found another messenger, a man named Apollos, to bring that same truth through a different personality, through a different person. There was nothing secret, there was nothing private about the witness of Apollos. His preaching was done openly and publicly. Look there in verse number 28 again, that word convinced. It means to convict. It means to convict. It means what happened is the truth of what he spoke, this complete gospel as being a man of the Word, he was able to diligently put things side by side and show to these Jews without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was the Savior, that Jesus was the Messiah. God had to take Apollos. God had to grow Apollos, take him through a process of growth before he could use him. And he did that by placing an Aquila and a Priscilla in his path. And God had a plan for Apollos. However, he couldn't go to Achaia until he was ready. He couldn't go there until he'd gone through some teaching time, some training time. And had Apollos been prideful, had Apollos been full of himself, self-centered, selfish, he never would have made it to Achaia. He never would have made it to Corinth. He never would have mightily convinced the Jews had he thought this tent maker and his wife don't really know what they're talking about. You know, there are places that God wants you to go. There are people that God wants you to reach. But it might begin with you and I being dedicated and determined to growing in our walk with God. There are things that God has for us. Apollos was taught by a loving husband and wife who took him aside and explained to him the truth of the gospel. And he understood that the truth that he was imparted was not something for him to sit on. It was something that he was to share. Apollos took help from others and then used that to help others. He could have gotten defensive about Priscilla and Aquila. How dare they question my thinking, my education? But he received it. He was teachable. He was humble. It was clear Apollos cared about the Word of God more than he cared about his ego. He took what he learned. He used it. Apollos took what God said seriously. If we look at this passage begins and ends with a reference to the Scriptures. Talking about the Scriptures. That's what Apollos was teaching. That's what Apollos was learning. That's what Apollos needed to learn more of. And I think that's because it's a reminder that this passage of Scripture isn't about Aquila and Priscilla. This passage of Scripture isn't about Apollos. This passage of Scripture is about the importance of the Word of God. It's about the importance of being in the Word of God, understanding the Word of God. It's importance about of being of the Word of God, being people who live by what they say they believe, and people by the Word of God who are fervent in spirit. Not just fervent in spirit. I know a lot of people that have a lot of energy, but what it's talking about is fervency for the gospel of Jesus Christ, fervency for the things of God, for the house of God, for the people of God. And the impact that Aquila and Priscilla made was only possible because of the Word of God. The impact that Apollos made was only possible because of the Word of God and the local church gathering around this young man, teaching him, guiding him. The impact he made was only possible because of the truth of the Word of God. So the passage isn't really about him. It's about what he did with the Word of God, knowing that he was accountable to God. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've been given so much truth. We have much more of the Word of God than Apollos did, in the fact that we can hold the completed, preserved Word of God in our hands. And we have been recipients of great truth. And guess what? I think we're going to be responsible for what we do with the truth that we've been entrusted. And guess what? I also think we're going to answer for it. I think of all the generations, I think those of us who have a printed Word of God in our hands will most likely have the most to answer for when it comes to what did you do with the Word of God. Apollos was passionate. He was open to being corrected and teachable. Apollos just needed someone to come alongside him and to encourage him. We've lived at a couple different apartment complexes. One of them we lived in Kansas City in the Lenexa area. It doesn't matter. But right in the middle of that apartment complex, this was 10 years ago. He was just born there when we lived there. And so it was 10, 11 years ago, and right in the middle of this apartment complex, they thought it was a good idea to put a man-made pond. It was a good-sized pond. There wasn't anything in it. It was just stagnant. It stunk in the summer and froze in the winter. There was another smaller one at the front. And so all that did was attract geese. And geese are an interesting creature, especially when you see them flying, because they really do fly in the V formation, which is really interesting. Nobody trains them to do that. God just made them that way. But they are messy creatures. I don't know if you know, if you've been around like Hyde Park and you see them walking around, they make messes. And I think like the seasons have been messed up. So I've seen them flying back and forth in V formations because it gets really cold and then it gets really warm. And so they come back. And then last week it got really cold. And so I think they were like, we're out of here. And so they were flying south again. And I've read a little bit about geese. And if they're flying low enough, you hear them honking, right? Do you know that they're not like honking at us? But what scientists have discovered is what they're literally doing is they're honking to encourage the goose in front of them to keep going. And you know that in that V formation, the geese, that flock, they can go 70% farther than they could go by themselves. That's quite an extension of ability. That's kind of along the same lines as a popular leadership term is synergy. All the pieces working as one, do more. One of the first real preaching books on putting together a message was and presenting a message was written by a man named Haddon Robinson. And he was referencing this idea of geese. And he said, followers of Christ are like that in a way. As we work together to move toward a common goal, we strengthen and help one another. We can accomplish more together than we can alone. And he also said this. He said, geese honk at each other. He said, they're not critics, but encouragers. Those in the rear, he said, sound off to exhort those up front to stay on course and maintain their speed. And we too can make greater progress if there is someone behind us encouraging us to stay on track and to keep going. He said this, is someone flying in formation with you today to whom you might give a helpful honk, he said. For Apollos, it was Aquila and Priscilla. For someone in our church, it might be you. And you might need someone in our church to come along behind you and encourage you. Church, when it's done right, isn't about individuals. It's not about superstars. It's about individual Christians united together saying, I want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about individual Christians united together under the bond of the Lord Jesus Christ, united on faith and doctrine, saying, I want to be part of something that can potentially bring my friends and family to Jesus Christ. You see, church, when it's done right, is where we all work together and we follow the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ and we fulfill the ministry that he has for us to fulfill. And part of that is us being an encouragement to one another. Some today might need a Priscilla and Aquila. Some in our church might need you to come behind them and encourage them along the way. Would you stand with us tonight with your heads bowed and our eyes closed? We'll have just a few minutes, as we normally have on Wednesday night, a time for us to pray together, pray for the request, but pray for however the Lord's spoken to our heart this evening. Heavenly Father, be with a few moments together. I know that there are folks in our church that could probably be considered much like Apollos that need a godly individual, godly husband and wife, a godly man, a godly woman, someone like that to come along beside them and to encourage them in their walk with God. I pray that you'd reveal to us and speak to our hearts, perhaps you already have, of those that we can come along behind and encourage. I'm so thankful for the heart of this church, a heart that cares for one another, that cares for about, help us to grow in our love for people, our love for you and our walk with you. Help us to continually encourage one another in love, to walk with you, to do what's right, to follow your word, to love you more and to serve you more, and to seek the needs of others as your word it gives us example. Lord, help us to be like an Aquila and a Priscilla, be an encourager. Help us to encourage one another. There are no doubt those in our church, young or old, who need someone to come along behind them and encourage them. Maybe it's just a word, maybe it's a note, maybe it's a card, maybe it's a hug, whatever it might be. May we desire to be like an Aquila and a Priscilla. In Jesus' name.